Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hi, Rangers. It's me, Jackie Cation. Welcome to the Dork Forest. It's 2024. Let's do this. Here's the credits, of course. Mike Rickberg sang that song at the beginning, and he wrote that song, and he sang it with Sarah Cohen, his wife. And he will sing the Mexican Hat Dance at the end of the program. Also, Patrick Brady, still putting this together. Video, audio, all of it. He's amazing. So, and Vilmos doing JackieCationStore.com. Squarespace is doing the regular Jackie Cation page, and I'm thinking of moving the Dork Forest and DorkForest.com away from WordPress because it's driving me nuts. But those are the credits. But if you go to JackieCation.com, you can get Dork Forest merch. You can get my stand-up merch. You can get my stand-up CDs and DVDs, which you'd have to have devices for those. You can also see videos and find out any number of things. I have another podcast called The Jackie and Laurie Show, but The Dork Forest is the flagship. 18th year, we're doing it, you guys. You can go to my Bandcamp or my YouTube for extra content. Please donate, is what I'm saying. It's 2024, and I think we've been in this long enough. Why don't you guys, everybody send me $100? That's what I'd like you to do. You can PayPal me. There's links all over the pages. You can Venmo me at Jackie Cation. You can find me at a stand-up show and hand me a sweaty wad of 20s. Do something. But I love doing the show. I would love to make some money, is what I'd like to do. In other news, I'm sure there's more things that I should talk about, but I can't think of them. But let's listen to who's going to dork out about something, because that's my favorite part. Thanks for listening, you guys. You're all great. Let's get into the show. This will be great. Hi, I'm Jackie Cation, and I'm in a hotel room without any hotel art behind me, so I've put an interesting pillow. The Dork Forest is what we're all listening to. We are all listening to, because I'm about to dork out with J.M. Dietrich, you guys, and it's J.M. Dietrich, DIEDRICH.net. And guess what she does? Is it a she? Is that a good pronoun? Are
yes.
you going with a they? Are you going with a anything? You're she.
I'll respond.
You will respond. And she writes romance novels, you guys. So I may dork out hardcore on her, but she knows stuff about Victorian stuff too. Welcome. It's jmdietrich.net. If you want to see the first books out, there's two more in the series. It's called A Lady's Duke. And quite honestly, I'm very excited about it. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
I'm psyched you're here. Yeah. Easy enough, right? You write historical romance and you like history and a particular part of history for the writing
Victorian
of romance.
Victorian history, yes.
Named after Queen Victoria, am I correct?
Yes.
Am I getting that right?
Very good. You know your stuff.
I know. I'm already in, you guys. There's top hats. Things are happening.
Yes.
What? Okay, so tell me, first of all, I guess, because I have tried to write romance novels a couple of times just because it would be fun.
Yes.
And yes, so, but you decided to do a historical romance novel, which is not just, you're not just setting it, like if I could set it in Wisconsin in the 1980s and, you know, you'd fall in love with some guy who has a really good job at the factory. But it could happen. But that's not really the dream everybody has. You're like, oh my God, he's got a pension. And but like
I'd read
so Victoria.
Jackie, I would read it.
Who wouldn't? I'm now tempted to write it. So but what brought you, did you study Victorian, did you study British history at school?
No, oh my gosh, I wish. Heaven forbid I came across a professor, I would absolutely geek out at them.
Right?
What did they put in their dentrifice? Oh my gosh. No, I started reading romance novels at a very young age. Like
how young?
Inappropriately young. I was 13.
13? I read them at 13. Did you ever read Barbara Cartland?
No. Is this someone I should be reading?
Not at all. Not at all. She was Lady Diana's step-grandmother, and she wrote religious romance novels.
Oh.
And they were not spicy at all. They got married, they kissed, last page, and I was, and even as a 13-year-old, I was like, well, this blows. But I read them all.
Because you had to.
Well, I think it was because they were all in the library, and I was like, and I was a bit of a completist as a child. So I was like, okay, fine. But then I read Harlequin romances at 13 too. What did you start with?
The very first romance novel I got from my 17-year-old sister. Think about this. She was 4 years older than I was. She gave me Jude Devereaux's A Knight in Shining Armor.
Oh, wait a minute. And you are a lot younger than I am.
Yes.
So you started reading romance novels when the word spicy wasn't a fucking word.
No.
It was hardcore, hello, tabe, slot A. And tabe occasionally touch slot B. So holy smokes, Jude Devereaux. That's hilarious. 13.
I was, okay. Yes, it was an experience. At 13,
you were an old soul. Yes.
I had questions afterwards.
Did she answer them? Or did she just go?
Oh, no.
I asked.
She answered them and then handed me the next one kind of thing.
Oh, good for her. That's good. I asked my stepmother what oral sex was when I was about 15. And her and my sister just looked at each other and said, never you mind. I was raised in the 1800s. It wasn't okay. It was, I should have known. Someone should have told me.
Oh, but those are the people you're supposed to ask.
Right? Well, my sister was gay. So, which meant that she had a lot more information. She would have had all of the information, it turns out. And for what oral sex was with this model of humanity that was in front of her. And my stepmother, was only about 10 years older than we were. And, not true.
Oh my.
Probably if I was 15, she was probably 9 years younger than my dad. And my dad was 30 years older than me. So she would have been about 15 years older than me. Yeah. So she could have ponied up. She did show us some information from the encyclopedia about body parts, but she was not of help. Anyway, so you read Jude Devereaux, which I think she writes historical romances too, right?
Right. This one was the time traveling. They went back in time to do the historical. Mm-hmm. He came in modern times. It was tragic.
It had everything.
It was graphic. To my 13-year-old mind, it was.
Oh,
what? That's how the body works. Thank
sort
God
of.
She did it.
Yes.
If she hadn't given that to me, I wouldn't be here now. I swear to you, it's all her fault. And I do credit her for it.
You credit her for keeping you going, making you interested.
She was my drug dealer of choice. She just kept giving me the addiction that I had. She started it and then she kept giving it to me. Thank God for her sisters.
Right. My sister, she was like, do you want to read The Chosen? And I was like, she made me join debate. I had to be on the student council. I also appreciate my sister. I finished my degree because of her. But I will say that when it came to sexy times, there was little or no discussion of anyone in our family, which, of course, is for the best with my father and my four brothers. But I could have used some information from the lady portion of the peoplehood. Okay, so Jude Devereaux, you're 13, and this isn't that long ago. You seem very young to me, but I'm 100. So, but whatever. So, did you start writing right away, or did you just consume like hell?
Oh, I consumed. I consumed. Are you kidding me? I was going through puberty. Yes. I consumed everything I could get my hands on.
And was it mostly historical? So Jude Devereaux, I don't think, like I remember, who's the one who writes like sort of Knickerbocker ones? The ones that are set in the United States of New York around the turn of the century.
Oh, you remember those ones? There are so many.
Oh, there's something for everyone.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And then there are people who have been writing for ages.
Yes. Right. So certainly writing for ages for sure. And sometimes with historical romance novels, they're historical in quotes because the history is revisionist to some extent. But it is a lot of research, I think, that they do, because a lot of the stuff that comes up, you're like, was that a law? That was a law. And who were your favorite, like, Victorian-wise? What years was Victoria? Do you remember? You would.
Victorian is more like, just to round it out, more like 1820 to like 1901, I think. Victoria actually passed away in 1901, so right at the 20th century.
Right. Okay. So
it covers a great deal of the 1800s.
Sure. You're at, like, we're horse and carriage all the way to early sort of industrial. Yes.
Yes.
What do you tend to read earlier or later?
I will read Regency period, which is really before. So a lot of people think about that. Bridgerton now. Bridgerton is set in Regency.
Julia Quinn. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. I read all of the Julia Quinn books, and then all of a sudden Bridgerton came out and I was like, what did she do? She made a TV show about a Julia Quinn novels. And then I tuned in and it was during the heart of lockdown.
Yes.
And if you remember when the first season came out. And so my husband, Andy Ashcraft, watched Bridgerton, and he was like, what the fuck is this? What is happening? Wait, why doesn't she know how sex works? And I was like, this is true. I mean, I didn't know how oral sex worked, but I was told about tab A and slot A and condoms and such, right? As a child, they were not. Any kind of like middle class on up. I mean, the lower classes probably had, and people who lived out in the woods, they got to see, you know, dogs and cattle and horses and whatnot. But yeah, he couldn't believe that women were not taught such a thing. And I was like, oh, there's legislation today. They would like that to happen right now. And so, yeah, Bridgerton is Regency-ish because of the... And let us explain. Now, here's the thing. I've invited you onto the program, and all I will do is talk, because this is kind of my dorkdom as well. Because I read
so many
books. Which
is why I can't get along.
Right. Right. I cannot wait to read A Lady's Duke.
It's spicy. Because, I hope you're ready for it. It is not. It is not slot A and slot B.
Jackie, oh, interesting.
It's graphic.
All the slots are available?
Yes.
Okay.
All of them.
All of the orifices are available in A Lady's Duke by J.M. Dietrich, you guys. I just read three of them. They are sitting in the corner of this hotel room. I won't be taking them with me. You know, I have probably 100 romance novels that are in various closets in my house, the reread ones. And some of them I reread because of the sex scenes. And some of them I reread because of the, they're funny. And some of them I reread because they make me cry. And I like a teary one. There's some teary action. So the Regency ones was because when George, remember King George, right?
Don't we all?
Well, King George was American Revolution King George, right? He was the one who supposedly went mad during the revolution when he lost the colonies. And then his son, also named George, I believe, was very large. This is what I know about King, Prince George, who was the regent. And he was a spendthrift and a bit of a glutton. And also a bit of a dandy. He liked to dress in fancy, fancy clothes. And then Beau Brummel, because the first decent Regency romance novels I read were Georgette Heyer. Did you ever read Georgette Heyer?
I have read so many. Jackie, I can't all keep them all straight anymore. I can't keep them okay. straight. I've read Georgia so many Hires, books.
She was essentially one of the creators of romance novels, modern romance novels, historical, because she wrote in the 1920s she died in 1972, Georgia Heyer. And they are funny and they are romantic. They are not sexy at all. Because she wrote from the 1920s to the 1970s. They are hilarious. They are essentially, do you ever see A Room with a View?
I saw some of it, yeah. I don't think
right. E.M. Forster. It's E.M. Forster. It's essentially a romance movie. It's a romance novel movie, A Room with a View. It's adorable. And Georgia Heyer novels, she wrote essentially in the style of Jane Austen. 100 years after Jane Austen, which means that she wrote the first historical romance novels. And
thank God.
Right. Thank God. She saved my life. And so when I was in junior, because when I went from Barbara Cartland, and Barbara Cartland wrote in the 50s and 60s and 70s and early 80s, I think, it was brutal. It was underlying Jesus-y and not a Ooh. Jesus who would ever get laid. It was a Jesus who was absolutely never going to get laid. And
doesn't sound like a romance novel.
Well, and then, but have you ever read Mary Ballow?
Yes.
Yes. So Mary Ballow has a sort of a Jesus-y vibe to her. Never outspoken. Never out loud. She just seems like a very nice lady who also would like to get some. And you're like, yeah, yes, yeah. Mary Ballow. I too am a pretty nice lady who also enjoys some sexy times. But she writes kind of sad ones. And there's usually yes. someone in the book who is either developmentally disabled or physically has some sort of physical ailment of birth mm-hmm. or has been like their leg got cut off or some fucking thing. Like their half of their face is a mess. And
she goes there. Yes.
She totally goes there. So, so you read Jude Devereaux.
Yeah.
Who else were your early, who are your favorite writers? I guess I have got to let you take this back because otherwise I will fucking talk for the next 45 minutes.
I can't tell you how much of a relief it is to have somebody to geek out over this. I try geeking about this kind of stuff with my husband. And he's like, that's nice, dear. It's like, you don't understand. It's important. I don't know.
It is
important.
I mean,
I guess I would say it's the classics that were out there that were available to me. I mean, at 13, 14, I really wasn't allowed to go buy those books. It was all what my sister was willing to just like sneak under the table to me. Like, here's your next hit. Jay, thank you. Don't show mom.
Don't cut me off. Don't cut me off. And they got them at the library though. You never went to the library and took them out? Okay.
Again, mom knew all about that stuff. It's like, no.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. So, okay. So who did your sister really like that she turned you on to?
Oh my gosh. Again, I feel like the past 20 years, my brain has just exploded. There's so many romance novels that I have read. I'm trying to think, I mean, Mary Jo Putney was somebody that I feel like I've been reading.
Right. For decades. Right.
And they're great. They're still great. She's still putting them out and they're great.
Right. Yeah. So what makes one good for you going in? Like there's always, there's the hero. There's the, I'm actually working on a, oh, I'm taking it back, taking the reins back, Jam. Here's where it goes is I'm working on a bit because one of my favorite genres of a Regency romance is a Christmas Regency romance where yes. they're seasonal. And I usually forget about them until Christmas comes around. And then all of a sudden, there's sleigh rides and holly and some mistletoe and some people are getting it on. So but they're doing it old-timey fashion. They've all stuck in an inn while they're trying to get to their homes, or they're trying to get to some sort of Christmas party, and all of a sudden, they're all at an inn. And then...
And there's only one bed.
There's only one bed, or there's no locks on the doors. Or, and so I bought one, and it was, it's usually three different authors.
Yeah.
And then, and they're novellas, and mm-hmm. super fun. And so I bought one at a brick and mortar romance novel store in Culver City, California, called The Ripped Bodice. And I was handed, for half price, they were like, we have these old seasonal ones. And I was given one that was written in 1995. Now, romance novels, I have been reading them since the late 70s. In the 60s and 70s, the protagonist, our hero, was often a rapist. Disappointed. But then she falls in love with him and fixes him. And then he stops raping. Because rape is sexual. It's not violent. It turns out rape is actually violent. It's not sexual. But right. Romance novels didn't give a shit. Were like, we got to get these people into bed. And she has to fix him somehow. So that's what women were writing back in the day. Yes. Around 90 to 95, there was a switch where the protagonist was no longer a rapist. And in this case, and I started reading it, and I was like, oh, it's one of these. The rapist was the guy's brother. So he's still protecting his brother, the rapist, who he's hoping to one day change. But she's going to fall in love with the brother who protected her. And he's like, no, don't look at him. Look at me. We're falling in love. You're not falling in love with this guy. And the and now, of course, the consent is I'm going to do this. Is this okay? And it's very hard to masturbate to that, but I give it the old college try. And
it's true, though. So, the industry has completely changed in what's acceptable and what they're pushing forward. You're 100% right.
Yeah. So the early Mary Putneys, the early Lisa Kleppuses, the early... the names are kind of hard to come up with in a push. But Stephanie Lawrence. Did you ever read any Stephanie Lawrence?
Yes.
She wrote a couple of series where there were like six cousins. And because that's the other thing is that it's all a theme, right?
Yep.
You introduce a pile of young people. Like three dudes who are 25 to 35 and three women who are 17 to 24. And then you could write a series about each of those people getting together. Right. So what's your fave? What do you love about them? The Victorian ones.
The biggest thing that draws me to any kind of book, whether it's romance or not, is humor. So I love how you say, make me laugh. If you can make me laugh within the first chapter, I'm there. If you can make me laugh within the first page, I'm yours forever.
Right.
I love that humor, that wit. So you add in sexy time and you make me laugh. Sold. Done.
There you go. You will love Georgette Heyer. Something like a lady of convenience or something like that, or a lady, like the names of them. We will talk. I will send you a list. And everybody,
you're going to be my new dealer.
Yep. And by the way, Rangers, you can text me. I did this bit about romance novels many years ago, and Lorraine Newman, I think it was fucking Lorraine Newman. I know her anyway, but Lorraine Newman tweeted at me and she was like, I've never read a romance novel. What should I read?
All of them.
No, not all of them. You can't say that. That it is The Ripped Bodice. Here's the thing about The Ripped Bodice is that there are different genres, right? Like you like a Victorian, you like a historical romance.
Yes.
I like them in Britain. I don't like Scottish because they're usually the same. And some people would say they're all the same, but they are not. They are not all the same. There are themes, and there are themes that I enjoy. So you want to tell me that one Jack Reacher novel is not like another Jack Reacher novel? You can fuck yourself, because they are the same. And I enjoy Jack Reacher novels. So and I like that theme. That theme is he's a good guy. There are bad guys. He punches him in the nose. This is something I enjoy. Romance novels. She's smarter. She's too smart for society.
Mm-hmm.
He appreciates smart, but just wants to get laid. And then he's like, oh, I kind of like smart. And then they get it on, and then they get married at the end. Or they do something. But there are all kinds of genres. Like, there are paranormal ones. Amanda Quick. Did you ever read those?
Yes.
Did you like those?
You're putting me on the spot here, Jackie. Oh, I mean,
no, but the thing is, they may not be entirely for. And also, she just died. She's never going to hear you. It's okay. So like, the paranormal ones are very specific. Like, I don't like vampire ones. I'm not into supernaturally kind of ones where there's werewolves and pirates, and I don't even like pirate ones. So, what do you like?
Again, it really depends on the author. If you can make me laugh, it doesn't really matter what genre it is. You're talking about paranormal or fantasy. I've been reading a lot of, I'm going to get her name wrong. I'm going to butcher it. Oh my gosh, I'm so very sorry. Nalini Singh. She does.
Oh, wait. Is it S-I-G-N? Wait, N-G? Wait.
Something. Right. I love her novels. She does Changeling Psy. She does. I think they're vampires.
It's called
Changeling
Psy?
Yes.
Oh, they're vampires?
No, she has another series. It's like angels and vampires, but it's this whole hierarchy, and there is humor. There is a lot of sexy time. I love it. I love having that, like, you're going to fall for me and I'm going to stab you. And it's like, yes, please have that. One of the things about my novels, I enjoy graphic sex and violence, but then I also enjoy the manners. I enjoy witty banter, the polite.
Let there be a top hat. Yep. Let there be a nice frock. Who doesn't like a nice frock?
Exactly.
And then also somebody picking you. I had a friend of mine in real life tell me that she, in college. So, she was like, I had sex last night with a guy who literally picked me up and put me against the wall and fucked me. And she's like, I am not a small woman and I cannot tell you how great it made me feel. And I was like, we may never talk again, but you, sir, were such a good time. And I of course said, did you use a condom? And because I like to be a buzzkill. In real life, I like to be a buzzkill so that people don't get the clap. But
responsible of you.
Right. It's always funny because what have I just been rereading? I think it's a Lisa Kleppas series, Next Generation. Right. The Next Generation. I think it's called The Devil in Spring. By the way, the fact that a lady's Duke, if there were as many Dukes in England as there are books about Dukes, there would be no other people. It would just be, and everybody has 1,000 acres and hundreds of people that count on them. And some dude who's like, I don't know how to do it. And then some woman who's really good at Excel. And it's just a match made in heaven. So, but yes, Lisa Kleppas, A Devil in Spring, I think is about Pandora. A Devil in Disguise. That's what it was. Because A Devil in Winter is about,
there are
the
so
dad.
Many.
There's devils, there's dukes, and there's
they're all fabulous.
They're all fabulous. So, but the vampire ones, that's got a classic story of sort of older man, younger woman kind of thing, because vampires are hundreds of years old. Mm-hmm. And there is, like, part of it might be that we all would like a dude who knows what the hell is going on down there, because we were not taught to know what was going on down there. And you're like, you have a better perspective. You could actually see where everything is down there because you're down there. If you could take that and like sort of map it out and then just do it right, that'd be outstanding. And
it is the fantasy.
It's literally the fantasy, because everyone always says that you should tell men what to do when you're having sex. They're so excited, they're not always listening.
Yeah.
And so you're like, no, you have to slow down. They're like, okay, slow, back to fast. And you're like, no, genuinely slow the fuck down. Have a hard on for minutes. It's all going to come together.
I would read your romance novel, Jackie. I want to read this. Whatever you put. I'm ready for it. You need a reading buddy? I am there.
All right. If I can get it together. I was hired to write a parody of a romance novel for Audible.
Okay.
And I had never written a romance novel. I've never written a book. I had never written anything but short fiction, and not for 25 years. And they hired me to write a parody of a romance novel, but they wanted, because there's so much money at Audible in listening to romance novels, which I think is interesting. Have you ever listened to a romance novel?
I've tried. You really have to get the narrator.
You got to get the, yes. Definitely.
I mean, you're either, again, like, just talk to me, read the bathroom tiles to me, or you're like, oh, no.
I can't listen to you. I can't listen to you read about, because sometimes, because that's the other thing about writing a book. Everything I've ever written, I've read out loud. So to write a romance novel and to read it out loud so that it, like, because I'm not good at grammar or punctuation. And the only way that I can get the grammar and punctuation right is if I read it out loud. And imagine reading a very steamy, sexy times romance novel out loud, where you're like, he took his tongue and put the flat edge of the thing against her clitoris, and then he paused, and you're like, is there a comma there? And because, you know, there is a great deal of, like, when I used to be ashamed of reading them.
Right.
Because back in the 70s, 60s, And then I read, first of all, I did a Dork Forest where Maria was sick of being on the Dork Forest, Maria Bamford. And she was like, I'll be on the Dork Forest if I can interview you about your dorkdoms. And then we talked about romance novels, and we talked about the preparation of roast chicken, because those are my two dorkdoms. And it sort of made me come out of the closet about it. And then I read a book written by a romance novel writer, and I liked this nonfiction history of romance novels better than her books. That doesn't mean I think that they were funny, but they weren't sexy enough for me. So I think I only read about 6 or 7 of them. But here's the thing about romance novels. You can read 6 or 7 of them. And
in a week. Yeah.
Yeah, right. You could just grind right through them. And I said grind. Anyway, but she wrote a thing called Bosoms and Heaving Bosoms or something like that. Whatever it was called. It's not just Heaving Bosoms or something was the name of it. And it was sort of the history. And I've talked about this before on the Dork Forest and other podcasts, is that romance novels used to only be sold in grocery stores. Because when women didn't have jobs, they would get a grocery budget from their fellas. Mm. And they could buy books written for them by women and just sort of incorporate it into the budget. And they wouldn't be questioned about it. They couldn't be made fun about it. You know, it was that. And, you know, and they're still sold. Like, whenever I go into a grocery store, I always go into the magazine aisle and go, ooh, they have that new one. All right. And it turns out there's a lot of Earls too.
Yes.
So what's the log line of a lady's Duke? What's the story?
Oh gosh, you're just going to put me right on the spot, aren't you?
Well, yeah. Do it, or just, and you know, where is it set? Are they in London? Are they in the country? What's happening?
Yes and yes. They do both.
Okay.
It is very much the Wallflower and the Rake.
Excellent.
I go pretty heavy on the tropes, and I know I do.
No, yeah, and no reason not to. They're very successful.
Yes. Well, and it was my first novel, and I had it in the back of my head, write what you know. And I'm like, I have read 1,000,000,002 of these novels. I'm just going to throw out the things that I like. So basically, I wrote the book that I wanted to read.
Right. Sort of culled from all the different ones that you, that's perfect. That's,
It starts off pretty typical. It's a woman. She wants her independence. She has, she has a guardian who's basically like, I'm going to marry you off so that I can go live my life. And she's like,
sure.
Nah, I'm not going to do that. So she propositions her brother's best friend, who is a duke.
Sure.
In the middle of the night. So she goes
in
to
a
his
library?
Study.
Were they in a library?
In his study. There were still
there
books.
There we go. Right. Still books. I always like it when there's books. See, I'm wearing my book nerd shirt.
Oh, that's perfect. And she propositions him like, I would like you to ruin me because I don't want to get married.
Oh, there you go.
How every classic romance starts. I would like you to ruin me. Right. And
it's also a pretty heavy male fantasy as well, where you're just like, oh, you don't need anything from me, but you would like me to put it in you. Excellent. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
But best friend.
Best friend, brother.
Brothers, yeah, it's an unwritten rule. You know, you're cute, you're spunky, you're saying very dirty things to me in the middle of the night, but loyalty.
Loyalty, yeah, bros before hoes, man.
Yeah, pretty much. But she grows on him, of course. She's witty and she's dangerous. She likes to get into mischief and cross-dressing because every woman should. And
Especially in 1820, sure.
Yes.
Put on a pair of pants.
Yes. And the thing is, like halfway through the book, I just kind of switch gears on you and there's intrigue. There's an assassin that comes into play. We go all over.
That's
the place.
Always nice. Right. Yes. Because just a regular romance. While I enjoy it.
Yes. Of course.
It's always nice when there's a bad guy. There's always nice when there's some other drama that we don't know about. With Mary Ballow, it's some sort of historical childhood drama that you don't know.
Yep.
And early Lisa Kleppas used to do sort of it was a vaguely rapey thing. She's been interviewed and talked about it. The joke I do on, I think it was on the Hero album, I can't remember, but it was my closer, and it was about a tantric sex move that Lisa Kleppas describes in one of her books that I wanted to do with my husband, but he had never read the book. So I just sort of took over the reins.
How did that go? And,
he's a good sport. So we were doing it, and then it was over. And then I said to him, did you notice the thing I did there? And he was like, yes, I was there. And what was it? And I said, it might have been tantric sex. I read about it in a book. And he said, and then he made a very, very funny joke because it was, then he made a Morse code joke that was very funny. Because it was with tantric sex, it's long strokes and short strokes. So he made my husband, Andy Ashcraft, made a long stroke, short stroke Morse code joke about SOS. And it made me laugh so hard that he often will I think that I'm dirty, but then he will take and turn it into the smartest dirty joke in the world. So
you gotta love that.
You can't go wrong.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. It's outstanding.
I totally understand. My husband's the same way. He'll whip out one of these jokes and I'm like, honey, stop. Kids are around. I love it. I love that wit.
Oh, do you guys have kids?
Yes.
How many children do you have?
I have two boys.
Boys and all that boy energy, which is just boy energy. It's not, it doesn't have to be ADHD. They can figure it out themselves when they're 32. I have four brothers. So
you understand.
I do. I do. They all had a hollow leg when they turned about 11. and the food, my stepmother used to actually dole it out so that everybody at least got one plate of food. And then the four of them would race to see who could finish first so they could get more.
It's amazing. And my 6-year-old can out eat me.
Right. I'm sure because he's got a lot of energy. A lot of energy. Yes.
And they don't always understand. Mommy needs to have her reading time. Go play over there. I need this romance novel.
I read a novel that looked like a romance novel when I was about 13 or 14. And my stepmother, she saw the cover and what it was a story about, my sister had given it to me, and it was about colonialism and Native American oppression. But it was fiction, historical fiction as well. And she had given it to me to read. And it was a picture of a very demurely dressed young woman and a Native American guy in just wearing no shirt, right?
Because
that,
yeah.
Right, a classic kind of. And so Nancy picked up the book and she was like, tell me that this isn't porn. What is this? And I was like, oh no, it's pretty good. It's about colonialism. And she's like, never mind. Here you go. And then she went back to reading her sexy. There were in the 70s, there were what? Because now there are series. Like you're writing a series. Yeah. J.M. Dietrich, by the way, .net. It'll be in the notes. A Lady's Duke. And the series that it was sort of more like Winds of War and Roots. Roots started it, even though Roots was just one book. It was the John Jake series. It ended up just being like sort of nighttime soap operas. Like they have them now too. So Bridgerton is a sort of a nighttime soap opera. Right. And the one that that came on about the Rockefellers or the there was some Netflix series set during like the early 1900s about Wall Street monsters. No? Nothing? Okay.
Sorry.
All right.
let's talk about other BBC. Sorry.
Okay. So so what other tropes do you enjoy? If they were to cut when she cuts this up, we're gonna find out you got to talk for 12 minutes. Anyway, so
I think it would be a shorter list to tell you what tropes I don't like.
Really?
I love so many of the tropes and it could be the same tropes over and over and over, but if it's written well, I'll read it and I'll read it again. You talk about a reread pile. I have books downstairs in my basement in my library that are 20 years old. I will still read them. I love them.
Sure.
Even if they are not exactly correct.
Right. Sort of that they don't hold up.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, there was one. It must have been a Mary Jo Putney era book. I wonder if you've read any of these Stephanie Lawrence books. It was, they're the ones, the series that I suggested to somebody was the Stephanie, because they're kind of sexy, but they're not so graphic that it's going to pull you out of the book and go, what the fuck am I reading? And especially if you've never read one.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And it's the Stephanie Lawrence. So anyway, talk about tropes while I look it up.
I mean, are you talking about the tropes I'm not a big fan of or the tropes I love? I'm actually not a big fan about the tropes with kids already in the mix. I feel like that's a lot of I don't know.
Do you mean like widows and like someone's a widow or someone has adopted their sister's kids or they have to figure out how to raise these orphans kind of thing?
Yeah. I'm not a big fan of like the man having a bunch of kids from a previous marriage only because
a task
usually
for this woman to
yes, it's usually she has to somehow fix the relationship because the father is, you know, indifferent. He's cold and the children are misbehaving to get his attention. That to me is not something I find interesting, probably because I have those two little boys who cause mischief and are cock blocking me at every bit whenever I want to do something with my husband.
Right,
so
right.
To me, it's a little too real. And when I'm reading romance novels, I like the fact that it's still kind of an escapism for me when I'm reading that, even right. if it could be historically accurate. It's like, no, that won't happen now. Right. So I can read it. So.
Right, right. And quite honestly, you have children to raise.
Yes.
You want to escape the raising of children.
Yes.
What do single people do when there are no children, when they're not going to bust in and bother your life?
That is the fantasy.
Okay. Right. So Stephanie Lorenz, who it looks like there's like three or four new ones that I have not read. And I thought I had read all of her books. So the Sinster series are the original like six cousins. And that's all Regency era, because they all six of these cousins went to Waterloo and they lived. And then they took the town by storm. And then these are all of their kids and their like their neighbors' kids all meeting. And there is there's one that's kind of witchy. You might enjoy that.
I'm sure I will.
Yes, it's got, there's witches, and then there's part of them are also raising horses, thoroughbred horses that are amazing, that they're hiding. Other ones are spies. I like a spy one sometimes.
Yes, yes.
Do you love a spy one?
Book three of
J.M. Dietrich's A Spy, A Lady's Duke. The first one, not a spy novel, but there is an assassin. And I don't like it when they get on a ship and go to like the West Indies. I don't mind. Mm-hmm. There's an author I like named that. Is it Stacey Abrams? Or is that the politician who's also an editor? Yeah, I think whatever. But they're I like, you know what I like? I like when the author is black. And the characters are just human, just nebulous, described as dark hair, dark eyes, and then you're like, and then sexy times happens anyway because of humanity, and it doesn't matter. And I do judge a book by its cover. So I used to not buy the Harlequin romances when I was in junior high and high school, because I read a lot of Harlequin romances, because that's how I started, by stealing them from Kmart. Poor Kmart. They're out of business now, and it was partly my fault. Anyway, but I wouldn't buy the ones with the black people on the cover, because I was like, oh, they're not for me. And then it turns out it's institutionalized racism. And now it doesn't matter, because everybody has parts, and they want to put them into other people's parts. And as Chad Daniels said, if any part of her body is in my body, that's still straight for me. Anyway, and he's like, and if any part of my body is in her body, it's still straight for me. And you're like, all right, you don't have to justify it. Just have a good time. But he, so that's where I'm at.
The industry has really changed. Now it can be colorblind and it's fantastic.
Yeah.
How everything has modernized. Yes.
Yep.
Yes. There are things that I got away with in my series that 10 years ago I couldn't. And I love that. It's wonderful.
Did you ever read, and she's been on the podcast, Gail Carriger? It's spelled Carriger. Oh, wait, she pronounces it Carriger, and it's spelled Carriger. That's it. And she writes, they're sort of young adult, but they're romance, but they're also, it's a world where vampires and wolf people? What are they called? Moon?
Werewolves?
Werewolves, thank you very much. Werewolves and vampires and witches and I think I think there's even ghosts. The Parasol Protectorate is what it's called. And it is, you know what it is? It's steampunk. It's not historical. Okay. It's steampunky. And there's dirigibles and there's typewriters, you know, everything you want out of a, there's like a steamship with a periscope. There's everything you've ever wanted out of both brass and umbrellas. And then there's also Sexy Times. And then there's also Injustice that is being corrected. And there's very fancy dressed vampires and there's very rough and tumble werewolves. And there's a lot of scrappy young women who know how to poison or throw darts. And I also enjoy like the Julia Quinn thing, the whistle down in Bridgerton. That in the books, it's not revealed until like book 6 or 9,
right,
who Whistledown is. But because it's a TV show, they got to do it. And the next series, and I don't know if they fit that when it's coming out, it's going to be not the third brother, not the second brother. They're not doing it in order of the books.
Oh, okay.
But don't you think it's kind of cool that they're taking a romance novel and making it into like Rhymes? She's a genius.
100%. I take it as Anatomy. It's an absolute win for the industry to have that out there, to have people.
Yeah.
Just to have them exposed to that. Yes. Romance novels are fantastic, right. People.
Right. And it legitimizes it in a way that science fiction has been also legitimized in the last 20 years.
Right.
And so 20 years from now, it'll be okay to walk around. But here's what I don't like about romance novels right now is that they're phasing out mass market paperback size and going with trade paperback size. And so I can no longer judge by covers, and I don't appreciate it because I read by author, but I also read, I find new authors by cover, mm-hmm. and the trade paperback size, they're not doing it Fabio, right? They're not doing Fabio covers. They're trying to pander to something else. And you're like, no, do you want my $8? let me just pick up a book here. I'm just trying. And even Barnes & Noble is putting romance novels in two different sections now.
What? I feel like the sections have gotten smaller.
Right. Well, they're putting the mass paperbacks over in one area, and they're putting the trade paperbacks in another area.
What's that about?
I don't know, but I don't like it because I can't find new authors then. Like, how would I ever find J.M. Dietrich if your first novel is going to be in a trade paperback? I don't know that I would get it.
That's why we're doing this now, Jackie, so that we can bond right here, right now.
Right here and right now. All right. So, So the Sinister series, you don't know if you've read that?
I'd have to look it up to be able to know at this point.
Well, it's what's about to happen is like the old ones. I wish I was kind of on Goodreads, even though I don't think I've, I wish I could just go to Stephanie Lawrence on Amazon because that's where it just popped me to. I wish it was like it would go back to the first book, but Amazon doesn't want you to buy the first book. There we go. The Regencies. It is paperbacks and. Right. So Four in Hand and the Dissolute Duke, a 2-in-1 collection. It's back when Stephanie Lawrence wrote Harlequins. I don't know if you'll be able to see it on. I could share it, but why bother? People, I'm telling you, go back and read all of Stephanie Lawrence stuff because it's super funny and it's very sweet. The only downfall of a sinister man is a sinister wife, which sounds incredibly sexist, except for it isn't. All of the women are super empowered.
Well, in romance novels, they don't have to be spicy. They don't have to be sweet. You can find anything out there.
Right. They're all different. Like everything is available. It's sort of like comic books and stand-up comedy.
Yes.
And now in manga and anime and all of these genres that were super niche, they can be written by anyone and they can be written for anyone. Yes. And about anything.
Anything. So,
right. If you want to go to space and get laid, you can do it. You can watch people in free fall getting their sex on. Like, one of the things about the Hugo Awards back in the day is that they used to, an easy way to get nominated for a Hugo, not an easy way. It's not ever easy, but, and it's always kind of stacked against different things. But if you had like a love story or a sex story, just think about like the people who won the Hugos back in the 40s and 50s. Robert Heinlein, that guy was the biggest bowl of keys dude in the world. He wanted to have sex with all the peoples, and he was like, everyone should do it. And then in the future, everyone's going to get to do it. And quite honestly, Nostradamus, Robert Heinlein. Because everyone does get to do it. All right, you're pretty quiet.
I love that you're dorking out about this.
Sure.
You're going to have to send me a whole list when we're done with this.
Sure.
I need all of your books.
Well, what are you reading right now? Is there anything next to you? What are you reading? Go grab some. Go grab some.
I had just read, The Killer in the Crystal Palace. By Deb Marlowe, I believe. She's another Dragonblade author with my same publisher. And it was...
Okay.
And again, when I opened it, I didn't realize there's no sex in it, which I guess...
Okay.
I was a little disappointed, I'm going to be honest. And yet...
Sure.
It was a mystery and there was adventure. She definitely was one of those... The modernized heroine. I don't need you. I can defend myself. And again.
And she falls in. Yeah.
You can find anything nowadays. The whole idea that it was technically totally PG.
Okay.
And it was still a lot of fun just to read.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
What's it called?
The Killer in the Crystal Palace, I believe is what it's called. The Crystal Palace being where the Great Exhibition was.
Okay. And what year is it set?
1851. Don't quote me. Okay. I'm pretty sure it was 1851.
Middle 1800s. Like, okay.
Yes. So definitely smack dab, like right in the Victorian era where, you know, from all over the empire, they would bring stuff and they would put it on display for people to see and they would come to London, and it was, I mean, historically, that is exactly what it was. So
that's right. So it was a historical romance novel, but there was intrigue and there was also action.
Yes.
It was also an action book.
Yes.
Oh, that's cool. It's there was somebody I read, I think it was called Perfect, Mr. Perfect or Mr. Impossible. I forget who wrote those two. And Mr. Impossible was a one about a guy who's been banished to Egypt by his father. He's one of like six boys. And I think it was Regency era. And he runs into a woman who, wants to find the Rosetta Stone, right? Wants to essentially, it's pre-Rosetta Stone. She's trying to study hieroglyphics, but she's a woman, so she's not allowed. And so her brother pretends to be the scientist, but he just kind of likes to hang out. And he likes Egyptian history. He just doesn't speak nine languages. And, you know, so he publishes her stuff. And Mr. Impossible is just a big lunk of a very nice man who happens to like a smart lady. And you're like, who doesn't want that guy? Who doesn't want, you know, giant sexy dude who he's not dumb, but he's not, he just admires the smartness that is also in you, right? Like he sees her as a person in addition to going, I would also like to be with you biblically. And, you know, and that's, and Mr. Impossible is actually quite funny. And it has a couple of sex scenes in it, and it's, but it's very sweet. And that's my thing. I like it. I like it. I don't like it to be super, like when it gets super mean or super scary, I get scared. So congratulations, people who write scary books. You've already won. I can't do it.
Gotta love those thrillers.
Right, right. Well, it's been interesting talking at you for 50 minutes, J.M. Dietrich. I can't wait to do the bonus episode with Andy, where I tell him that I talked at you for about 50 minutes. But this has been a delight. I will be getting A Lady's Duke, by the way, and I can get it on Amazon right now?
Yes, you can right now.
Well, right now. Don't think I won't just right now do it. And hopefully, because here's the thing. I'm in New York. I might be going up. Did you say it was is it at Barnes & Noble? Because I am going up to Upper West Side. And there's a Barnes & Noble up there.
You can get it online at Barnes & Noble. It's not in stores right now.
Okay. Well, then I can only hope that it could be delivered on Sunday. Or I'll have to read it after I come back from Vegas. So, because I'm in Vegas all this week. And wow. But everyone should go to jmdietrich.net, DieDrich, and get a ladies duke. And the other two are both coming out this year as well.
Both coming out, yes.
Holy smokes.
Yes.
Prolific. All three, the whole series will be out this year. And so get with it. And thank you so much for doing the show.
Thank you for having me on and for talking at me. Thank you.
Sure. Rangers, you know the rules out there. Take care of each other.
My hat, my hat, my hat. They're dancing around my hat, my hat, my hat, my hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?